is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
Upon your face, our thankful lips. Yeah, we are continuing our series on worship, and this morning I want to speak to you, so appropriate, the cost of worship. How many of you know there's a cost to worship? You know, the Bible says sometimes we need to bring a sacrifice of praise. It's not always easy to press through and say, thank you, Jesus. Last week, we spoke about pressing through, and even in the darkest hours of our country, we talked about Abraham Lincoln, and we talked about the pilgrims. They found some way to set a day aside and say, thank you, Jesus. In the middle of all their darkness, in the middle of all their pain, in the middle of all their tragedy and their loss, they learned. Somebody say they learned. See, we need to learn to say, thank you, Jesus. And sometimes we just need to press on through. So this morning we're speaking about the cost of worship. I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. There's a price for worship. And here in Exodus 30, we're going to read about the formula of worship in the tabernacle. The worship in the tabernacle. There's a formula that God gave Moses. So if you're in Exodus chapter 30, we're going to begin reading right at verse 34. And the Bible says, then the Lord said to Moses, take fragrant spices, gum, resin, onycha, and galbanum, and pure frankincense, all in equal amounts, and make a fragrant blend of incense, the work of a perfumer. It is to be salted and pure and sacred. Grind some of it to powder and place it in front of the Ark of the Covenant law in the tent of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. Do not make any incense with this formula for yourselves. Consider it holy. Whoever makes incense like it to enjoy its fragrance must be cut off from their people. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for revelation this morning, Father God. Lord, let this not just be information, but let it be a revelation that will cause a transformation in our lives, Father God. Reveal your word to our spirits, Father God, that we might be transformed even into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in the matchless holy name of Yeshua, Jesus, we pray. Come on, somebody shout amen. Amen. So in this passage, God is giving Moses a formula for worship, if you will. There are four required ingredients mentioned in this passage. This formula or this recipe for worship, the first fragrant spice that God required Moses is gum. It's called gum or stacked in the King James Version. This is also known to the Jews as the balm of Gilead, or it's also known as myrrh. It is native to the area of Jordan and also Ethiopia and Yemen. The second spice is onycha. This spice was produced from the trees that grew in Arabia. It is also a very common perfume from India, from the nation of India. Thirdly is galbanum, and this is from the plants that grew in Syria, Persia, and Africa. Lastly is frankincense. It is taken from the trees in southern Arabia and Somalia. Please take note that none of these spices that were required were native in Israel. So, Pastor, why the study in geographical agronomy? Here's why. These four spices that God required Moses to use for incense, for worship, all had to be imported from foreign lands. Thus, there would be a great cost involved in all of these fragrances. Now, just like today, if you wanted to import a luxury piece of furniture from Europe or Asia or South America, the cost would be dramatically higher. And remember, in that day, cargo traveled by camel, so products from Northern Africa, Iran, India and the Arabian Peninsula would take weeks to get there and maybe months in driving up the cost of these ingredients for worship. How many of you know they didn't have Amazon.com back in that day? UPS still didn't exist, right? They no overnight services. So these spices, these ointments were so valuable that people would use them as commodities, as a way of investment or a way of building a savings account. You remember the ointment in the alabaster jar, and we're going to look at that in Mark chapter 14 in a little bit. The ointment in the alabaster jar, the Bible says, was worth a year's wage. So perfumes, fragrances, ointments were treated much like we treat precious metals or even precious stones today. People would put them today in a safety deposit box, and it would increase in value. It was a way of saving. There is always, Judah, there is always a great cost for true worship. God requires it in this passage, and in 2 Samuel chapter 24, you could read the story later. David wanted to prepare a place to build an altar and offer a sacrifice unto God and a place to worship him. Araunah, who owned the property, he recognized David because, you know, the Bible says that, you know, Saul slayed the thousands, but David the 10,000. So David in that day would have been a household name. He knew David, and David wanted to prepare a place to build an altar and sacrifice and worship God. And when Araunah recognized him, he offered to give the threshing floor to David for free. But David replied, "I will surely buy it off of thee for a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." In other words, David is saying that I will not worship my God on the cheap. I'm not looking for the BOGO. For those who don't shop, buy one, get one free. Y'all got it, right? David wasn't looking for the blue light special. He wasn't looking for the sale sign. He was saying, I'm not waiting for Black Friday or Cyber Monday. David is saying, listen, I will pay full price, extra if I have to. I will not worship God with that which cost me nothing. Let me just pull this into today's society. I'm not looking to get in and out of church as quickly as I can so I can pay my religious duty. I'm not looking for ways to get out of church. I'm looking for ways to get into the church. Come on, somebody. I'm not hoping that the praise team doesn't sing too many songs. I'm hoping the worship will never end. David is saying, surely if God cared enough to send his very best, surely I could give my very best. Listen, saints of God, we need to stop half-stepping with God, half-stepping with our service unto God, half-stepping with our finances, our study time, our praying. We need to stop half-stepping with our worship. It's time to get all in. Come on, somebody. Bless the Lord. Come on, we read it in the opening. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and come on, help me, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let me give you another example. Now you can turn to Mark 14. This is a very familiar story in the Bible. This is Mary at the feet of Jesus. Mark 14, I'm going to read beginning in verse 3. The Bible says, while he was at Bethany, speaking of Jesus, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Now, let me just pause here and make a comment. Remember the story that we just read in the book of Exodus. He said to bring your fragrance to the ark of the covenant. Watch how we connect dots here. The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of the Lord. The woman is bringing her worship to the Ark. Oh, come on, somebody. Of the covenant. She's laying it at the feet of Jesus. the presence of the Lord. Verse 4. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wage, and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Jesus, leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And how many of you know that to be true, because we're still reading about her story in the 21st century? Amen? Is so now when you read the account of this story in John, because John is the synonymous gospel with this particular story, he fills in some of the other details, and he also identifies the people in the story. First, he identifies the woman as Mary. So let me restate some of this and fill in some of the blanks from John's account. I'm going to paraphrase. Mary, as an act of worship, breaks her alabaster jar and pours the perfume on Jesus' head. Then, in John's account, she pours the perfume on his feet and wipes them with her hair. Also, in John's account, it identifies Judas Iscariot as the one who questioned with indignation, "Why are you wasting this perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wage and used to feed the poor." Now, how about that commentary from a thief and the one who would betray Christ? Listen, that brother wasn't interested in feeding the poor. He was interested in getting his little greasy hands on the cash. Listen, saints of God, be careful of those around you trying to thieve your offering for worship. Sometimes your friends want to steal your offering. Sometimes your family, sometimes even church folk want to steal your time from worship. Oh, I'm trying to help you. So what some of the disciples, even ones that are closest to Jesus Christ and others considered waste, what they considered waste, Jesus called it worship. Worship, my friend, is never wasteful. You know, some folks come to a service like this and consider what we do prior to the preaching a waste of time. Well, I'm going to step on some toes here, so get your little steel-toed shoes on right about now, right? Some folks have the attitude, "Oh, I'll just show up at 11:30. I can still hear the word." Nobody brought tomatoes here this morning, did you? Why you got to sing so many songs? Can't you just do an A, B, and selection and sit down? Do you really have to take all that time just to linger and speak in unknown languages? And do you really have to close your eyes and raise your hands? Do you really have to cry and dance and shout? Let me give you the short answer. Yes! Because my Bible says if I don't, honey, the very rocks will cry out. And ain't no pew, ain't no wall gonna cry in my place this morning. Oh, come on, I wish somebody in the house would give him a praise. Hey! Why? Because that's what we've been created for. We're created to make his praise glorious. See, what religious folk, come on, Judah, what the religious folk call a waste of time, Jesus called it worship. My Father seeks a true worshiper, not the religious. True worshipers are willing to spend their time, their finance, their emotions, willing to ignore the stares and the comments of the religiously correct. They pay a paying no attention to the religious folk. We're the immature Christian, a true worshiper's attitude. I'm going to worship, and I don't care what you think. I know you've heard me say this before, but everybody is somebody's fool. I just happen to be a fool for Jesus. In the world, they call them fans, but in the church, you're a fanatic. No, 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 no. My girl Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and she gave her all. She didn't care who was looking. She didn't care what anybody was saying under the breath. She understood this. Watch. That her sinful self and also her salvation, she also understood who was before her. She understood her true forgiveness. She understood this lavish love and grace and mercy from God the Father who has bestowed us by Jesus Christ. Honey, I'm here to tell you, my girl got it. The question is, do we get it? Then how can we not? How can we not? I've been teaching this the whole way through the series, right? Zero revelation, zero worship. Little bit of revelation, just a little bit of worship. Honey, but when you get a whole lot of revelation of what Jesus Christ has done, you got a whole lot of worship.
Pastor Michael will be right back with today's message. If you would like to hear or watch other messages by Pastor Michael on your computer or electronic device, or learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at www.judahministries.net and click on Go Beyond. Now let's get back to today's message.
Bye-bye. Shout out to Sarabosa. When we realize the magnitude of His grace, when we realize that He's saved us from a hellfire, that right there is enough to throw somebody into a crazy praise. She understood her sinful self, church. She broke her alabaster box just to anoint Jesus. The Bible says that it was worth about 1 year's wage. Today, that might be worth some $30,000 or $40,000. There's a great cost to worship, I'm trying to tell you. It says they began to rebuke her and harass her for her actions, with Judas, the liar, and the thief being the cheerleader. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Let her do what she needs to do." Listen, saints, sometimes we might go through something. We don't need a phone call. We don't need the pastor. We don't need the prayer chain. We don't need the Zoom meeting. We just need to sit at the feet of Jesus and worship. Show our gratitude. Sometimes when you're trying to worship, you got to tell your friends and family, "Hey, honey, leave me alone. Shut your cell phone." You know your cell phone has an on and off button. Did you know that? Turn it off sometimes, honey. My, my. The Bible says she unbridled even her hair, her glory, to wipe her feet. Listen, church, foot washing was a task that was assigned to the lowest servant in the house. A most humble position, because you can't truly worship from a posture of pride. Pride and worship cannot coexist. Just ask Lucifer. The Bible says she laid at the feet of Jesus. And here she takes her greatest attribute in that day, her hair. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a woman's hair is her glory. How many of you know today a woman's hair, whether it's yours or you bought it, come on, y'all. Whether you wear it to bed or take it off, come on, somebody. I'm just trying to help the brothers. Don't mess with a woman's glory. Now, I've been around long enough, I've seen some ladies lose their glory in a shouting church. It's all right. It's all good. I don't know. Where am I? You're messing me up. But she used her hair in the lowest possible position as an act of worship. It was complete humility. She dried the feet of Jesus with it. True worship cannot include pride. The second your worship says, "Look at me," your worship has ceased. Whether you're singing a song, listen, or cleaning a toilet. Our service unto God is our worship. The word is interchangeable in the Hebrew language. Worship the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's the same Hebrew word. So if you shine that John up, didn't I do a good job? You lost it. So whether it's singing, doesn't matter. Cleaning the toilet, it doesn't matter. John's account, it also says that the aroma from the anointing of Jesus filled the room. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about anointing here this morning. If you remember Esther, the Bible says she was anointed for an entire year before she was just permitted to spend one moment with the king. Her cleansing, don't miss this, her beautification, her anointing was not for her pleasure, but it was for the king's pleasure. When my wife wears perfume, honey, it's not for you. It's for the king. Come on, y'all getting this? But everywhere she goes, her anointing follows her. So not only is the king blessed, everybody in her presence. I'm talking on a spiritual level here, y'all. When you have the anointing of God, it's to purify us for our king. But our anointing should bless everybody around us. Come on, somebody in the house. Thank God for his anointing. Even Mary at the feet of Jesus, her anointing was for the King of Kings. Even after she completed her act of worship, she left the presence of the king. But no matter where she went, the anointing oil was still on her, and people knew that she was in the presence of royalty. When we break open our alabaster boxes and lay it before God in worship, that awesome fragrance of the Holy Spirit will continue to linger in our lives, that people will know that we've been in the presence of the Holy God. Now, I love how God sets up stories in this Bible. Watch this. Y'all remember the Samaritan woman. We talked about that a few weeks ago, John chapter 4. The only place that Jesus teaches about worship was a Samaritan who they were despised by the Jews, and she was a woman, you know, just a little higher than some of the farm animals. I'm just telling you what it was like in the first century. But Jesus chose to reveal worship to a Samaritan woman. So don't ever be surprised who God chooses to reveal revelation to. Watch now. By the way, he did not share that with religious folk. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Starts out with my two favorite words. What's my two favorite words? But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Come on, is there anybody in this house that's foolish, weak, and lowly? I'm telling you, you're in the right place. So this whole scene, watch the characters here. With Mary at the feet of Jesus, it took place in the house of Simon the leper, with Lazarus, who is freshly risen from the dead, being present. Oh, there's a whole lot in there, y'all. First of all, just the thought of Simon the leper being present kept most of the religious people away. He was a repellent. You see, listen. Sin repels the religious folk. The drunk is repelled by religious folk. The prostitute is repelled by religious. The homosexual, I'm trying to help somebody right here, is repelled. But those are the very people that attracted Jesus. My Bible says he came to seek and save the lost. That's the Jesus I serve. Well, that's why I hang out at the nightclub, because I want to... No, listen. Back up, Bo. Listen. When Jesus went to the nightclub, Jesus didn't change. The nightclub changed. Please don't use that as some lame excuse why you have to go down to the corner tavern. Please. The religious folk have no interest in participating rubbing shoulders with the lepers in that day. They were more interested in their country club environment. When a leper walked down the street, the religious folk cried out, "Unclean, unclean," switch sides of the street. When Jesus was there, he said, "Come to me and let me sup with you." No social distancing with Jesus. Come on, somebody. Jesus hugged them. Jesus healed them. You see, the law condemns. Grace heals. Religion despises. Relationship loves. Fear says, "Not me." Faith says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." You see, religious folk walked away from the leper. Jesus walked to the leper. Jesus was dining with a leper and a dead man. He was just raised from the grave. That was the environment and the audience for this epic display of worship. So, like Lazarus, has God raised anybody in this building from death? Has he raised you from the guttermost, like we sang? It put your feet on the uttermost. Has he delivered anybody from the death of drugs? Or called any of you from a tomb called alcoholism? Or a life of promiscuity? In other words, he called you out of the tomb that already smelled like death. And he said, "Honey, come forth." Throw off those grave clothes. Is there anybody in here like Simon? You were a leper. Your sin was as scarlet, like leprosy. Come on, Judah, what's my two favorite words? But God cleansed you by the blood of the Lamb, and now you've been made as white as snow. You were filled with guilt and shame, but one touch from the Master's hand, you have been made clean. Come on, church. Is there anybody here like Mary? Now filled with humility, understanding this amazing grace, how sweet the sound, and having a heart of overflowing gratitude, willing to assume the position of a servant and kneeling at the feet of Jesus, who understands how high, how wide, how deep his love and his forgiveness is for us. Anybody in this house understand that? Yeah. Well, I got good news for you all. You're in the right place. You're in the right environment with the right audience to worship him with reckless abandonment. Come on, somebody.
Pastor Michael will be right back with today's message. If you would like to hear or watch other messages by Pastor Michael on your computer or electronic device, or learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at www.judahministries.net and click on Go Beyond. Now let's get back to today's message.
Let me wrap this up. Back to our scripture, Exodus chapter 30. I want to withdraw a couple other things out of this verse. Verse 34 states, "Then the Lord said to Moses, take fragrant spices, gum, resin, onycha, and galbanum, pure frankincense, all in equal amounts, and make it a fragrant blend of incense, the work of a perfumer. It is to be salted and pure and sacred." Don't miss this. "Grind some of it to powder and place it in the front of the Ark of the Covenant Law in the tent of meeting where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. Do not make any incense with this formula for yourselves. Consider it holy to the Lord. Whoever makes incense like it to enjoy its fragrance must be cut off from their people." So number one, once again, there's great cost involved in these fragrances. They've come from far lands. Secondly, the Lord is stating, gather spices. In other words, gather people from the far ends of the earth, from the north, the south, the east and the west, mix them all together, set them on fire, and make a sweet savoring incense or worship unto me. Moses is instructed that after he gets the four spices, he is to have a perfumer to grind it and mix the ingredients and pulverize it into a fine powder. I'm here to tell somebody this morning, God has brought us here to 525 Market Street from all over the earth. We're from Africa. We're from Europe. We're from Asia. We're from South America. When we submit our lives to the ultimate perfumer and he grinds us and he breaks our lives down so that we are made pure, when he crushes us, listen, if we allow him to mix us up. Allow him to mix us up with another, one another in unity from various nations and various cultures so that we become one spice, not two spices. It can't be identified by the only one mixed sweet fragrance. If we're willing to do that, then, somebody shout then. Yeah. His holy fire, his Holy Spirit consumes us and we become pure worshipers that he desires us to be. Come on, somebody in the house. From every nation. My God. This is a picture of Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. Throw that up there for me, Caleb. It says, "After this I looked and I saw a multitude too large to count. Every nation. Every tribe. Every people. Every tongue. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes." Come on, somebody. "And holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried in a loud voice, salvation to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb of God." That is our desire here at Judah Ministries, to be an earthly representation of what is going on around the throne. I wish somebody in this house would give our God a praise. Come on, somebody. Hey! After Moses is to mix the spices, he is to place it in front of the testimony in the tent of meeting. The Bible says, where I, God, will meet with you. See, it's no wonder. It's no wonder why every time, somebody say every time, we come together with our lives that are broken and we're crushed with all our issues and all our challenges and all our idiosyncrasies, and we're mixed together, and we as the people of God come together as one with one heart, one voice, one mind, one purpose, in spite that I could be an idiot at times. Come on, I'm trying to help you. When we can come together, our Heavenly Father always shows up and shows out in a very special way. It's in unity of worship. That's why Psalm 133 states, how good, somebody say good, and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters gather together in unity. It's like the oil. It's like the anointing. It's like the Holy Ghost falling down over Aaron, even Aaron's beard down over his garments and even to his feet. When we can come together. See, the world is trying to divide us, church. We need to wake up and smell the coffee, somebody. There's no division in the church. I can't stand it when some people, I go to a black church. I go to a white church. There's no black and white church. There is the church. Come on, somebody. We're not unified by black. We're not unified by white. We're unified by the color red, which is the blood of Jesus. Psalm 133 concludes with I, God, where there's unity, will command a blessing. Come on, somebody. Hey, Rabo Sata, Rabo Sharaba. Hey. Listen, saints of God, there's never been a more opportune time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up and say, we're one. We're not one politically. We're not one racially. We're not one religiously. But we're spiritually united as the body of Jesus Christ. Listen, Judah, we're in a warfare like never before. However, listen, we're not battling for political unity. That's a losing battle. Stop it. We're not battling for racial unity. Forget it. We're not battling for religious unity. That's called ecumenicalism. Forget it. There's no unity with us and the Pope. I'm just telling you. He came out with a statement last week. My eldest, or one of my sons, showed me. He doesn't even believe in heaven or hell. I don't care if he's the Pope. We can't be united with that. We can't be, listen, we love the Pope. We love Catholics. We love Muslims. But we can't be united with Islam. They do not believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes unto the Father but by Him. I can't unite spiritually with you. I'll be your friend. I love you. I'll pray for you. But we've been called to be one as the church of Jesus Christ. Saints of God, listen, we're battling for spiritual unity. Are you hearing me? Ephesians chapter 4, watch this. We're almost done. Here it is. There is one body. Somebody say one body. And somebody say one spirit. Just as when you were called to, somebody say one hope. When you were called, here we go together. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So I'm telling you, there's one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ. And my friend, that is the name we can unite around. Come on, somebody in the house, give them a praise. Hey! Hey, Rabo Sanaba! Hey, Robo! Here's my final point. My final point. There is a warning written in verses 37 and 38. Here's what it says. Do not make any incense with this formula for yourselves. Consider it holy to the Lord. Whoever makes it, makes any like it to enjoy its fragrances must be cut off from his people. Listen, saints of God, our God will not share his glory with no other. It's vital that we continue to consecrate ourselves and humble ourselves before him. Because if you don't humble yourself, he will humble you. If we're up here just singing so people can hear how well we can sing, you missed it. If whatever you're doing, because remember, worship and serve are the same word in the Hebrew language. If you're just cleaning or cooking or building or praying or whatever you do, saying, look at me, don't I do a good job? You missed it. Because God, listen, will not share his glory. Well, nobody. Saints of God, there's a cost to worship. There's always a true cost to worship. But we need to thank God that the price was paid for us to enter in to the Holy of Holies. The price was paid on an old rugged cross outside the old city. So now we can go boldly before the throne of grace. Come on, Judah, give our God a great big praise this morning. Come on and do it. Come on and do it. Hey! Shout out, come on, worship him. He's worthy. He's worthy of our worship.
Your prayer. things on earth I will await. The moment that I see you face to face. 'Cause nothing in this world can satisfy. 'Cause Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Come on, Yvonne, yes.
I said nothing in this world can satisfy. 'Cause Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Step in deeper. Listen, you've been on
on the outside for too long. You've been in the outer court for far too long. The Holy Spirit is bidding you say, come, 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 come. Draw close, draw close, draw close unto me.
To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation, every generation, to all creation, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.